Good morning and happy Easter. You know, in every circumstance, God can create a blessing. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1, Scripture tells us of a great persecution that broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And the believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. This is sometimes referred to as the diaspora, or the scattering. And this scattering is in large part responsible for the spread of the early church. God used this scattering caused by the persecution of the church to spread the kingdom of God. He created a blessing from the scattering. God is no less using the current pandemic for his purpose, for his spreading of the kingdom of God. Through the technology of the internet, this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning will be broadcast all over the world through the World Wide Web and YouTube, Facebook, and even television. We get to reach out to people that we've never before been able to reach. We get to share this Easter service with Rachel and Kevin and Cora in Eckerd, Kansas, with Dave and his parents in New Iberia, Louisiana. We get to spread the kingdom of God throughout the world. Now, for those who are new to Rhema Christian Center, I'm Rob Frank. I welcome each of you this morning, and we're honored to have you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with us. And we're glad you're here by whatever medium that you happen to be with us. We're honored by your presence. And this morning, we wish you the peace that surpasses all understanding in this time of trouble. We'd love to hear from you, to connect with you, to learn how we can serve you. You can learn more about Rhema Christian Center by visiting our webpage at theramalife.com or visiting our Facebook page. Please feel free to message us through Facebook or email us at rcc@theramalife.com and let us know how we can serve you. Let us get to know you a little bit. We also encourage you to reach out to each other, to stay connected, to use whatever means or medium that works best for you. It could be text or telephone calls or FaceTime or Zoom or Skype. It's important during this time especially that we stay connected to each other, that we reach out and support each other. Now, this morning, I have the honor of having been selected to welcome you and to give an opening prayer. And then our senior pastor, Pastor Stuart Farley, will bring you the message of God's word. Now, we'll have communion later on in the service. So go ahead and get your communion elements ready. A cup of whatever you have on hand and some bread will be fine. We've even joked around the church here that if you don't have bread, Doritos will work. The important thing is that you do it in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, while I have been locked down at home, I've taken the opportunity to teach the elements of archery to my daughter, Maya. And the bow is actually a bit bigger than her. She pointed out that it stands about an inch taller than she is. But she's learned that her ability to shoot an arrow straight and true and powerfully is dependent upon how far back she can draw the bowstring. She must draw back the bowstring as far as possible to draw enough energy to loose the arrow to make it go forward. The drawing back of a bowstring is an illustration of a larger truth. Sometimes we must face a sudden and significant reversal to propel ourselves forward. Sometimes the bowstring must be drawn back in a very drastic way for the arrow to fly free and to fly true. This is true of the scattering of the early church. The persecution in Jerusalem was the drawing back of the bow, and the spread of Christianity through the world was the loosening of the arrow. And it's true in our current circumstance. This pandemic is the drawing back of the bow. And as the arrow is loosed, I can only imagine what great things are going to come. And I have faith and our Lord and Savior that great things will come. Good Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ represents the greatest drawing back of the bowstring in human history. Jesus was abandoned by his friends, scorned, beaten, crucified, hung on a cross for each of us. And when he uttered the words, "It is done," the bowstring was drawn back as far as it's ever possible to draw back a bowstring. But on dawn of the third day, the tomb was empty and the arrow was loosed. All of the power and the glory and the energy of the most perfect, high, almighty God was loosed upon the world and loosed in our hearts. Upon the loosing of that arrow, death was defeated, the world was saved, and each of us was redeemed by the sacrifice of a risen Savior. No matter what rises against us, no matter what befalls us, the arrow is true. Jesus rose from the grave. He defeated death. We are saved and we will not be afraid. If you all please join me in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you this day for the physicians and the nurses and the orderlies and the housekeepers and the first responders who are on the front lines of this pandemic, who are standing against the tide. We pray for your supernatural protection over them. We pray that they'll come home to their families and be safe. We pray, Lord, healing over the sick. We pray, Lord, for comfort for the grieving. On this day that we celebrate the resurrection of your Son and our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the life of Jesus lived perfectly as a man. We thank you for his ministry, the perfect embodiment of the Scripture. We thank you that he took our sins to the cross and gave himself for us. We thank you for his resurrection, which let loose on the world love and peace and victory unimagined and unimaginable. Today we ask you for ears to hear the message of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to touch our hearts, that you loose in our hearts this day what was loosed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that as we walk out our lives, we walk them out in the image of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. It's my honor at this time to introduce to you the founding pastor of Raymond Christian Center, Senior Pastor Stuart Farley.
Morning, church family. How you doing? I hope everybody is good today on this Resurrection Sunday. It is time for us to acknowledge the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. I want to encourage you this morning to be ready to give. If we were having a normal church service today, I would be receiving the offering at this time. I'd be telling you that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I'd be telling you that God loves a cheerful giver. And I'd be telling you that it's because of the faithfulness of God's people that the kingdom of God and the work of God is accomplished here on the earth. I am so appreciative of the goodness of the Lord and how he takes care of us and supplies our every need. So today I want to encourage you to, if you would, you can go online to theramalife.com. You can go to the give button. You can go right there. You can give. If you are a part of the local church and you're watching us and you are part of your church, I'm encouraging you to give to your church. But you pay your tithes to your local congregation. If you feel directed to bring something or give something to this ministry, that would be an offering that you would give us. If you're not connected or affiliated with the church anywhere, then I encourage you to connect with us and be a part of us. We do this every week. We've been broadcasting a long time on live streaming, and so you can watch us every week, and I encourage you to do that. You can even hook up with a Bible study during the week, and I just encourage you to do that. But you can go online to theramalife.com, hit the give button and give. You can give with your mobile device. You can go to the app store and you can download the Rhema Christian Center app, and that'll come right on your phone. It'll give you the ability to give, or you can mail into the church address, which is Rhema Christian Center, 3584 Davis Stewart Road, Lewisburg, West Virginia, 24901. I just want to encourage you to give. What I would like to do now on this Resurrection Sunday, this is one of the greatest weekends that we've ever experienced. This past week on Good Friday represents the day that our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the price for our sins, gave His life for you and I. In that process, Jesus, His body was broken, His blood was shed. He took that blood to the mercy seat of God in the heavens, and He purchased salvation for you and I. His body was broken, His blood was shed, so that you and I could have eternal life. Today, we want to acknowledge what He did and be obedient to what His Word tells us we should do in participating in communion. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to get your elements right there, and for you to be ready to receive, I want to read to you some scripture, and I'm going to participate with you right here. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Jesus said, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is My body.'" Before we partake of this bread and this cup, I'm asking us to give thanks right now. I'm going to ask you, while you're there, if you would, to pray this prayer with me and repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I give You thanks that You were willing to take stripes in Your body, allow Your body to be bruised. You took the crown of thorns. I thank You, Lord, that You bore my sins in Your own body and that You were nailed to the cross, not just for me, but as me. Every sin I have ever committed, You took on Yourself for me. So, Lord, I thank You for this bread that we're about to receive. And I thank You, Lord, for the cup that represents the blood of Jesus Christ, Your blood that was shed for our sins. I thank You, Lord Jesus, right now for Your body and for Your blood. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your love. So now I would ask you to take, "This is the body," Jesus said, "which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember Jesus. Take and eat. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Receive this cup in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank You and praise You for everyone who has participated with us in acknowledging Your body and Your blood that was shed for us. We remember You this day, and we thank You, Lord, that You conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that on this Easter Sunday morning of 2020, that You are still alive and well in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, I thank You for Your body, and I thank You for Your blood, and I thank You for Your life that You placed on that cross for me. for every one of us. We honor you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to open it to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, the third chapter. I want to talk today about a pattern optimist, Jesus Christ. I believe that he's the greatest optimist that ever lived. So many people in today's world find themselves in a place where they just can't see past the present darkness and the confusion that's going on in our world. They are closed in, if I could say it that way, by what's happening to them in this very moment, what's taking place in their lives. And you know, this is not unusual. This comes from everybody. It affects all walks of life. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you're black or white. It doesn't matter what country you're from. This epidemic is impacting everybody on planet Earth. But many people, because of what they're dealing with, have a pessimistic mindset. They have allowed themselves to be so discouraged and so down that they're blaming everybody, looking everywhere, finding out what's wrong and something is wrong. Just blame people for what's going on. Well, today is Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, this is the most optimistic day of the year. It's the day that I realize that if Jesus conquered death, he conquered death not just for himself, but he conquered death for me. I can live an overcoming, victorious life because Jesus Christ conquered the greatest enemy that we could ever have, and that enemy is death. Today, I'm asking you to see past the present crisis, and let's try to see into the future, and I want to do my best to get us to see an authentic hope. Now listen to me. I want authenticity, not a false hope. I'm not looking for something that's not real. I'm not talking about something that you can't tangibly receive. I'm talking about an authentic hope in a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, listen carefully to these words, beginning with verse 17, and I'm reading through verse 21. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's right, Christ. Where does he dwell? Where does he live? In our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Watch this. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I want you to listen carefully what this scripture is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus that we can know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he goes on and says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, listen to this, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, we're that future generation that this scripture was written to. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now listen carefully to me. There is a power that works in you that if I can get you to tap into that power, the power of the love of Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of God, if I can get you to tap into that today, I want you to understand you're going to overcome whatever problem you're facing today, whatever difficulty that you're struggling with today. Today is Easter 2020. I'm going to begin this by asking you to ask yourself this question. Do you see yourself as an optimist or a pessimist? And it's okay. I'm not trying to bring judgment to you. I'm not trying to make any judgment in that statement. I'm just asking you to ask yourself, do you see yourself as an optimist or a pessimist? The reality is, many people are needing to believe pessimism and cynicism. It's where they are. They are there. It's a part of who they are. They're not trying to be negative. They're not trying to be a pessimist. But it's the reality of where they are. It's very real to them. That whole aspect of life that sees things in darkness is a very tangible, real thing that happens. Listen to me. You can't fake your way out of pessimism. You can't just act like you're going to start doing something different and just automatically it will happen. I want you to understand, you can't fake it. You can't whistle past the graveyard. It has to be authentic hope to change your life around. Authentic hope. I know a lot of pessimists, a lot of people in today's world who've become angry with what's going on, with what's happening in their lives. They have come to a place where they create doom and gloom. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what goes on. They see everything negative. They're not going to ever get better. It's not going to get changed. Everything is just the way it is. They have become stuck and can't see any way out of their circumstance. Down, down, down they go, and you don't know where you're going to stop in that downward throttle. But the good news is there is authentic hope. Can I please ask you, if you would, to just open yourself for a moment and listen to me for the next 20 or 25 minutes or so and just think with me and allow me to impart something to you that I believe can change your life. Just open your heart for just a moment. Don't be so negative for just a moment. Just sit there for a moment and say, you know what? Maybe he's got to say something today, or he's going to say something today that I need to hear. If you would, let me try to encounter you and see if I might be able to impart to you today the ability to change your life. What I'm really asking you to do is to open your heart to Jesus Christ in such a way that you can experience His love. This passage I just read to you from the book of Ephesians says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints. Would you like to comprehend with all of the great saints of God throughout history and who are alive today, who know the love of Christ and are able to face difficulty and struggle and opposition in such a way that they enter it and walk away victorious every single time? That you could literally comprehend the love of God, which he says here in Ephesians, that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said over in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and listen to this, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, when Jesus died, I died. When he was crucified, I was crucified. When he rose, I rose. One of the things that we do with communion, we're representing the body and blood of Christ. In water baptism, we're representing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And literally today, those of us who have invited Jesus Christ into our heart, we know resurrection life on the inside of us. When you open your heart to Christ, you can experience His love. The life which I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not faith in me. It's faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me. I literally have the ability, and so do you, to know the love of Christ. You know, I don't know what else to do today but to talk about my own testimony and talk a little bit about what God has done in my life. But you know, I've found out that I am an incurable optimist. Let me say it again. I am an incurable optimist. I'm not talking about by my own strength, but by having learned something that I believe I can teach you today. I'm an incurable. I've tried to be pessimistic. I've tried to feel like I can't go on, but I can't stay that way. I've learned something that Christ is alive in me. Now listen, this isn't complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm not saying it's complicated. This is not complicated. I have personally gone through some stuff in the last few years of my life. I could begin telling you a story of things that's happened, of things that I've gone on with my family and things that's happened to me personally. But I've learned during all the things that I've gone through that I need to remain open, that I need to realize that it's not just about me and what I'm facing, it's about what Christ is able to do inside me and with me as His child. I've learned to remain open. An optimist, listen carefully, is this: an optimist is truly someone who can authentically see past the crisis into the future. Everybody today's talking about, wonder where things are going, what's going to happen. Does anybody know what's going to take place? Oh, it's going to be better. No, it's going to get worse. Things are going to be different than they've ever been. And, you know, I realize that there's people who say they don't know. And I realize that I can't look at you and tell you I know exactly. But I know who's in my future. And I know who's going to walk me into the future. And I know who's going to be alive with me into the future. And I know who's going to live with me in the future. And I know that the greatest optimist who ever lived has taken residence up on the inside of me. And that I have the ability to face tomorrow because He's alive. I can face tomorrow knowing that I'm going to be everything He has called and purposed me to be. And so can you know that. As I said, I've learned to be open. I want God, I want Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit to help me with being everything I can be. You know, I've been encouraged at times and gone through things where I think, man, this is tough. And I get down. And all of a sudden, I get down, and when I get down, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to live like this. I'm not going to live down. I'm not going to live discouraged. I'm not going to live defeated. God didn't make me to be defeated. He's alive on the inside of me. Now, here's my thinking. Many of us have what I would call hidden issues. There's things going on in our heart, things going on in our life. There are things that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to deal with. We see certain things in our lives that we wish weren't there. We see certain attitudes we wish weren't there. We know that we are dealing with certain sins or certain secrets or certain things that go on in our life that we think determine who we are. Well, they don't determine who you are. Jesus paid the price for every sin, sickness, and disease that is attacking you or coming against you today. And what I want you to understand is that we're living in a world where things are changing. 2 months ago, if you had asked the average person walking the street that this world would shut down, that the economy would shut down, that things would go to the state that they're in today, there's nobody who would have believed anything you said. When this first happened, they were people saying, this isn't real, this isn't taking place, it just can't happen this way. But listen to me, things are changing. The church is changing. There's a lot of people wanting to continue to have church the same way. They don't care who they endanger. And I'm not being critical. I'm just simply saying church is changing. It's not the same day it used to be. Politics are changing. Finance is changing. Economics is changing. Families are changing. I've been able to spend more time with my family than I have in years. Everything is going through shifts and changes this very moment. But listen to me, if we don't see past this present crisis, we're going to go into a blah, a negative, downward spiral. And what will happen is when you get the blahs, when you begin to see only the circumstances around you and what's happening, and you get caught in the negativity of what's going and you become a pessimist, you begin to close. And when you close yourself, we close ourselves and we become angry with what's happening. Look what's happened to me. I've lost my job. I've lost this. I've lost that. And all of these things begin to close in on you. And when we become angry, we're not so fun to live with. We just kind of exist from day to day, moment to moment. But I'm here to tell you something today. This is probably the greatest news that you could hear. In this shutdown, in this time where everything is going on like it is, this is the greatest opportunity you have for God to get to know who you are. Yeah, He would like to know you. He would like to have a relationship with you. He would like to talk to you and fellowship with you, and He would like for you to talk to Him and fellowship with Him. And in your human weakness, I believe that you're listening today, and I believe it's not just because you chose to listen today. I believe it's an answer to prayer. I've been praying, God, will you show us how to get rid of all of the religious crazies and people come to know you for who you are. You know, there's been people I've heard about my whole life, people that I've wondered who they were, and people, and I've had people as a pastor say, you know, I've heard about you, I've watched you on TV, I think I know you. And then we sat down in a one-on-one conversation, and they say, really? This is how you are? Really? I didn't realize you felt that way. Until I sat down and talked with you, I didn't really know you. You see, that's the way it is with God. Some of you know what everybody else thinks about God, but you need to understand God wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants you to know Him, and He wants to know you. Now, let me just encourage you something. Jesus will come to you wherever you are and whatever it is you're going through. He's not afraid to come and get you and get in the middle of whatever problem or struggle you're in. But I want to encourage you about something. He don't want you to stay there. He is the pattern optimist that I want to talk about for the next few moments. I believe that Jesus Christ is the most optimistic person in the world. He came to this earth, took on a human being, knowing that He could conquer death, hell, and the grave. Knowing that He could come and take up residence on the inside of human beings with their frailties and their flaws. And He knew that what He provided for them would be more than enough for them to overcome every situation and every circumstance. Over in the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, there is a verse there that says, speaking of Jesus, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God learned obedience. I'm learning every day. I realize every day I need to learn more. Look at me. Listen, Jesus learned. I want you and I to learn what he learned. It says he learned obedience. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 29th verse, he said, Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you need some rest in your mind, will, and your emotions, in your souls? Well, take his yoke upon you and learn from him. Today, I want to learn from Jesus. Now, listen to me. What I'm about to say to you, this is historic. This is proven. This is authentic change that will take place in your life. If Jesus Christ comes into your heart, he wants to change you from a pessimist to an optimist. He wants you to know that he will live in you. Please hear me say this. I want you, this moment, in the next few minutes, I want you to have a actual encounter with a living force called Jesus Christ. It's not just a holiday that we call Easter. It's not just a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is a day when this risen Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to encounter you where you are, what you're going through, and he wants to come and take up residence on the inside of you. If he already lives in you, I want to stir up what's already in you and get you into a risen, resurrected encounter with a powerful force called the power of Jesus Christ, so that you can face tomorrow believing God's going to be a part of your tomorrow. I can't change your past, but I can promise you this. If Jesus Christ is in your future, there is absolutely nothing that can stop you from doing what he wants you to be. You, this moment, can have an encounter with a risen Savior. You, this moment, can have an encounter with the living Son of God. Listen to me. If you can hear what I'm trying to say to you this moment, I feel like I need to look at you and say, you know, if you can get past all the religious crazies that are out there, some of us have been raised in churches that are stupid. I know I ain't supposed to say that word. I know I ain't supposed to be able to do that, but I'm just saying we've got some crazies that we call religion. There are religious things that are pure nuts. What I'm talking about today is you need to not try to be all of the religious things, all of the do's and don'ts. You need to understand that this Jesus wants to come in and share his love with you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen to me. You will begin to encounter something that I believe is very real. Real. I personally believe that the kingdom of God is real. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. When he came to the earth 2,000 years ago, he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." I believe that righteousness, which is right standing with God, is real. I believe that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I believe that righteousness, peace, and joy, there's a peace that you can have in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, a peace that passes all understanding. I want to know that peace. I want to experience that peace. I want you to encounter the love, the joy, the peace, the right standing that you can have with God this very moment. Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, lives inside of you. And if he lives inside of you, he has the ability to change things in your life. Listen to me. Jesus is not a pessimist. He's not looking at you going, well, I don't think I can do anything with you. That's not his attitude. He knows he can change you. He knows he can do something in you if you'll just get in line with his power and his program. He has the ability to change things. He's an optimist. Listen to me. And he wants you to be an he wants you to be an optimist just like him. In the closing moments here, I want to give you some statements. And if you're making notes, if not, you can watch this video again. You can fast forward it to this moment. But here goes. Here's what I want you to know. What you don't know does injure you. So you need to know some things. And here's what I know. I'm not talking about what somebody else does. I want to talk a moment, my testimony. Here's what I've known. I know and I've learned that the great optimist, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he does in our lives is real and it really works. The kingdom of God takes us into optimism because once you see the kingdom, listen to me, once you see the kingdom of God, you get on a winning team. You know, when I get around other believers who believe what I believe, who know that Jesus is the victor, that knows that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, who knows that he's alive inside of them, we get together and we begin to realize there's nothing we can't do for God. I can remember when I started in ministry, I'd go places and I'd talk to people and I'd say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And so many people would say, oh, one of these days you're going to come to the reality of what life really is. I've watched God do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think every day I've been in ministry with the Lord. I've watched him take things that I thought I couldn't do and I wasn't sure what happened, but in my heart I had faith to say, God, this is your church, it's your people, what do you want to do? And watch him do great and mighty things. Let me give you some simple principles here. Principle number one, you need to hear this. All creation is groaning for a release from the crazies that's going on and the crazies you're dealing with. You're not alone in what you're facing right now. Everybody's in the same with us. All of us are dealing with this fallen world. All of us deal with sin. All of us deal with sickness. All of us deal with disease. All of us deal with this flesh. All of us deal with being inside of a human body. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8, listen at this, beginning at verse 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons, plural, the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Do you realize this world is going to see deliverance? Deliverance from corruption. Deliverance from viruses. Deliverance from disease. That's our future. This creation is waiting for you and I as God's children to stand up. The second thing you need to realize is that if you're going to change from pessimism to optimism, you're going to have to change your identity. You're going to have to quit seeing yourself as some little nothing, as some little nobody, as some little something that God can't use. Listen to me. God inside of you makes you an absolute victor and an overcomer. Listen to me. I'm no longer the pessimist that I could have been. You're no longer the nobody that you thought you could have been. An optimist sees himself as saying, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Will you get that? Will you let that hit you? Christ wants to live in you. So, optimism is authentic. It's real. Can I say to you, this is not some pie in the sky. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to be victorious and overcoming in this life. It's not what I don't know. It's that I know who holds my future. The next thing you're going to have to do is some different thinking. You know, we all have a fallen mindset when we should have the mind of Christ. However astounding that may sound to you, we literally have, according to Scripture, the mind of Christ. So we need to change our thinking, and we need to begin to think in a different fashion. We also need different responses. You know, a lot of my responses in life have been out of anger or selfishness. You know, when people aren't happy campers, they show they're not happy campers. But the response of Christians should be agape. It should be the love of God, God's love. I don't want to live my life as an unhappy person. I want to bless. I want to strengthen. I want to help others. We need to have different thinking. We need to have different response. Another thing we need to do is to try to please a different person. I don't know why everybody keeps trying to please themselves when you need to please God. I want my life to be pleasing to Him. Everything is different. Everybody is different. Some people don't like being told what to do. My problem is not what others tell me to do. It's what I say to myself. My own problem is I need change from the inside. I've come to a place in my life where I want God the Father to move the furniture in the basement of my soul. I want Him to come on the inside of me, and I want to behave, to respond, and to think the way Jesus Christ would think in our lives. I'm not talking about false optimism today. I'm not talking about just a self-help thing. I'm telling you that I believe you can be an authentic representative of Jesus Christ. I know I'm on a winning team. I know that Jesus is victorious. I can see past the immediate crisis, and I can see where God is going and that He wants me and you to go with Him. Let me close with this. In order to leave pessimism and enter optimism, you got to know God's love. God's love is the only thing that can reverse the downward spiral. You can't just get counseling, and you got to be motivated to be like Jesus. Listen to me today. If you don't get anything I say, I want you to have a relationship with God the Father. God wants you to encounter Him. He wants your friendship. He wants your love. He's coming to you today and saying, I want to be your friend. I want you to know my love. Seek Him as the optimist.